Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A Fairbanks man spent 3 days stuck under a shower platform in his home. Alaska State Trooper Dispatch says the 67-year-old man reported falling headfirst into a confined space and wiggling his way under the shower structure. Troopers say they went to the home to conduct a welfare check, knocked on the door, and heard the man call for help. Troopers say officers forced open the door and located the man under the shower, which was disassembled to get him out. They say he was able to reach bottled water from where he was trapped and was in good health despite the 3-day ordeal. A federal study details contamination inside a deteriorating Fairbanks landmark. Fairbanks City Council member David Prues says the over 700-page analysis produced by the Environmental Protection Agency catalogs a range of contaminants in the long-vacant downtown Polaris Hotel.
We have black mold, green mold, asbestos. We have the things that are in light bulbs that exploded. We have all sorts of those things in every floor, every room of the building.
Prue says the so-called brownfield study is needed to move ahead with a plan to demolish the Polaris. Built in 1952, the 11-story high-rise is Fairbanks' tallest building, but has suffered from neglect and was condemned in 2012. Mold and asbestos have long been known to be issues, and Prue says the EPA report is missing some specific information.
The report showed the locations and the types of everyone there, but what they didn't do was give the amounts of each one that was there and the estimated cost to remediate, and that's what we really need.
Prue says the city has asked for the additional information. Prue chairs a city group that's working toward demolition of the structure, which is owned by Anchorage businessman Mark Marlowe. Marlowe has failed to secure financing to realize a plan to redevelop the property into apartments. The city has envisioned building a performing arts center at the downtown Polaris site, but estimates put the cost of demolition alone at around $6 million. Prue says there's potential for federal funding, as Senator Lisa Murkowski has requested a $70 million appropriation to pay for a more comprehensive solution.
Everything that would be ever involved with the city in knocking down the building, acquiring an entire block, and acquiring the block across the street, and doing studies of what should be there.
Prue emphasizes there's no guarantee the money will come through and that the city continues to work with Marlowe to find a solution. Arctic temperature data has nullified a perceived 14-year pause in global warming. Work by a University of Alaska Fairbanks researcher shows global warming did not slow between 1998 and 2012, as previously calculated. UAF atmospheric scientist Shandong Zhang says the falsely indicated moderation in warming resulted from a lack of Arctic temperature data.
Our new global data much improved the representation of Arctic surface air temperature.
UAF Zhang says he and colleagues in China gathered readings from remote sensing buoys deployed in the Arctic Ocean and worldwide NOAA sea surface temperature data and calculated a continued increase in warming.
We found there was no slowdown. There was no global warming hiatus.
Zhang says average global air temperatures continued to rise at over a tenth of a degree per decade during the suspect 14-year time span, a trend driven by a far greater rate of warming in the Arctic.
During this time period, the Arctic warming rate is about 6 times global average warming rate.
U.S. and Chinese government agencies, including the National Science Foundation, supported the research, which is published in the journal Nature Climate Change. China is about to impose limits on what recyclables it accepts, and that means changes for communities along the U.S. West Coast, including Alaska, which send cardboard, plastic bottles, and other items to China for recycling. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports from Juneau.
Locals sort through tubs and boxes of empty bottles and cans on a recent afternoon at Juneau's recycling center. They toss aluminum in one bin and plastics numbered 1 and 2 in another. Cardboard has its own place, as does mixed paper, and nearby containers hold glass and tin cans. Those recycling generally like the idea of reusing items and keeping them out of the nearby landfill, but soon that's going to be a little harder to pull off. A substantial amount of Alaska's recycling is shipped to China. There, it's shredded and processed before being turned into new products at that nation's numerous factories.
China takes so much of the U.S. materials they have a lot of market power.
Mary Fisher is Executive Director of Alaskans for Litter Prevention and Recycling. She says plastics number one and two, such as soda bottles and milk jugs, will continue to be accepted. The same is true for aluminum cans and corrugated cardboard. But the higher number plastics, numbers 3 through 7, will not. Neither will mixed paper, such as mail, magazines, and newspapers.
Most communities in Alaska are not accepting mixed plastics like that. So I don't see that as being a major impact up here. And the mixed paper, a little more problematic because China uses a lot of mixed paper.
China is also cracking down on what's called contamination. That sounds like dirt or leftover food, but mostly it means too many unrecyclable items mixed in with the right materials. The new import rules don't kick in until January. I'm Ed Schoenfeld, reporting in Juneau.
And I'm Dan Bross.